bazunguzukaneni.
Kuja nami tuungane twache kuzozana. Watu wa upendo hauna dui, hauna kifani kaka.
Taka pata na zavade. Shino narudo kubatana kutitibu dirire.
Twaitaji upendo ili tusonge mbeleo.
Kutambura kwedu zichida hati narudo.
Ukosefu wa upendo lete dhiki ya jaya.
Welcome to the G spot, the good spot, the gram spot, the god spot, where all the G's meet. You're back again with another episode. And as always, before we start, we do a little housekeeping. First and foremost, I hope each and every one of you is doing great wherever you are. You're pursuing your goals, your ambitions, and I hope life is just, you know, treating you the right way. And you're treating yourself the right way despite of every circumstance or whatever you're going through, basically. So on today's episode, I thought of something that I've been reflecting upon over a couple of days now. And I just came to realize that our society has come to a point whereby we have really romanticized greed. Greed has become something that is heavily linked with things like success and wealth accumulation. But I thought and thought, I got to a point where I really questioned myself. I questioned myself as a person and as a society. What is greed, and how, as a society, are we dealing with greed? Are we encouraging greed by romanticizing it? Is it the new image of success? And how much is enough? Okay, my perspective was basically I was analyzing some cases. First, this case of child minors in Congo. You know, the PS4 you're probably accessing right now, that smartphone you're using. There's a kid out there who's really struggling, probably even below the age of 10, who's mining to make it possible for you to get that phone that you have right now. Then I looked at another case. This is a case of cocoa harvesting in Ghana, where young children are also being used to do this harvesting, and then they are being paid, you know, nothing. They are being paid, how do I put it? It's not even cents, just pennies to do tedious work so that you guys can get chocolate. And then I looked at another case, you know, our Kenyan politicians are like the perfect definition of what greed in a society is and the effects of greed in a society, the moral decay that can result in a society just because of how greedy the people in a society can get. So I really thought, and after thinking much, this is the basis of our conversation today. Greed as a society, how much is enough? Do we get satisfied with what we have, or we keep looking for more and more and more and more? So as I was doing my research, you know, I came across a couple of things, and I'm gonna talk about them, and you'll give me your view and perspective maybe. So I don't know how many of you have watched the movie The Wolf of Wall Street, or yeah, the Wolf of Wall Street, or Wall Street. Yeah, there's this actor called Gordon Gekko, where he talks about greed. He says that greed, for the lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. I don't know whether I can get that clip. Yeah, let me look for it, and I'll share it with you in a couple of minutes. So I want you to listen to what he says about greed and process it, and you tell me if you feel it's right.
Destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
So guys, that is Gordon Gekko's school of thought, where he believes that greed is essential for evolutionary scaling, upscaling, in terms of our careers, our wealth accumulation, you know, our love life. Everything that we want in life can be better as long as we are greedy. You know, we want more for ourselves. I think this is the whole basis of capitalism. But at times I feel like, in as much as we want more for ourselves, it gets to a point whereby it's too much. As long when it gets to a point where it's becoming negative to our society, especially, that's very dangerous. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was looking at what our legislatures, those guys who put in government, put for themselves as retirement benefits. It's quite surprising how much people want for themselves in a society whereby others don't have anything, you know, whereby someone puts, a home allowance for themselves of millions of money, while thousands of Kenyans are actually sleeping outside. I feel like that's not the whole objective of scaling up. But the thing is, greed is essential for all those things to happen, for a society to rise. Although it's going to be like a couple of people, if you're greedy enough, you can rise as a person. And greed is so important because the idea of amassing wealth, you know, wealth, amassing wealth is very important, especially for men, you know, in a society whereby success is mandatory for man, that's not an option. Then greed becomes important because for you to get the best out of everything in life, be it health-wise, be it getting the best mate out there, accumulating wealth to a status-like level, where your status is essentially uplifted because of how much you've accumulated, is important. But guys, what is greed, and what does it entail? Is it really worth it all? So according to me, greed is the insatiable desire to have more money or possession for self gratification, while ignoring the society, ignoring your own soul, ignoring God and the eternal promise. That's the definition. Well, that's according to me. According to Webster, it is defined as the excessive or reprehensible acquisitiveness. It defines the synonym covetous as marked by inordinate desire for wealth or possession or for another's possession. The problem is, those terms are very subjective. Most of us would say, I don't have excessive or inordinate desires. I just like a little bit more. That's the whole idea. Everyone wants a little bit more. Now, we're going to look at it from a very biblical perspective. On the first episode I do every week is basically God. I have to talk about God, basically. So, the Bible uses several words for greed. And one means literally the love of silver. Now, Paul says that in 1 Timothy 6:10, that the love of money is the root of all evil. Another word used to translate the 10th commandment is, you know, you shall not covet, thou shall not covet, which means desire. It's often referred to as lust. With regard to things, it means that one thing will belong to someone else. That's what the Bible says, greed. But the main New Testament word for greed comes from two words, meaning literally to have more. It's often used in the sense of taking advantage of another person, but the main sense is the desire to have more and more things in an attempt to satisfy oneself. In the book of Mark 7:21-22, it says that Jesus mentions a long list of sins, you know, where he says, all those sins, including deeds of coveting, which he says come from our hearts. So greed is not primarily concerned with amount, but rather with attitude and motive. So let's underline that. Greed is not primarily concerned with amount, but rather with attitude and motives. The poor can just be as greedy as the rich. So being poor doesn't make you less greedy, or being rich doesn't make you greedy. I don't know if you're understanding me. There's a book called The Pearl. The Pearl was written by John Steinbeck, I think. It's a book I did in high school. You know, it's one of those very amazing set books we did. We see the story of a guy called Kino. Kino was very poor, very, very poor man. But you saw the level of greed in him, whereby he led to the death of his son, destroyed his family, to the point where he got to a point where he didn't want to be associated with a pearl, the pearl that had the promise of getting more. So I'm not discouraging you guys to accumulate wealth. Wealth is important. Wealth gives you status, it gives you looks, it gives you a lot. But the idea of greed is primarily concerned with attitude and motive, not with amounts. So yes, you can be poor and greedy, you can be very rich and not greedy. So greed is the attitude that's never quite satisfied. You know, it's that attitude of wanting more and more. You know, let's look at the parable that Jesus gave in the book of Luke 12:13-21, whereby a man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Okay, so being fair, I would have expected Jesus to say, "Bring that scoundrel here." And he would have confronted him about his greediness. But instead, Jesus tells the man with the complaint. He tells him, "Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Then Jesus told the whole crowd in the book of Luke 12:15, "Beware and be on your guard against any form of greed, even when one has abundance, does his life consist of possessions." Then Jesus told the story of the man who had too many crops for his already full barns. So he had planned to build bigger barns while he congratulated himself that he had plenty stored up for years to come. But God said in the book of Luke 12:20, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?" Jesus concluded in 12:21, Luke, the same book. So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and not rich toward God. The man wasn't content even though he had plenty. That's one thing we see. He wanted more and more. And it's clear that he intended to keep it all for himself. He wasn't thinking about God's kingdom or the needs of others. Now that's what we call greed. He wanted to store up for himself. He never cared about all others that were out there hungry in the night. So there's a story of a financier who was visited by an angel. And the angel told him that he would grant him one wish, just one wish. And the businessman, asked for a copy of the financial news 1 year in advance. 1 year in advance, akaambia angel, "You know what, Mr. Angel, give me the newspaper 1 year in advance." So as he was greedily scanning the stock prices, he has already seen the future. So obviously he knows how the stock market is going to perform. So he's scrolling, he's just looking, he's drooling over the killing he would make on his investments in the year that would come. Then suddenly, his eyes glanced across the page of the obituaries. Obituaries is where they have a list of all the people who have died. This is a newspaper 1 year ahead. And then, to his surprise, he saw his name there. Suddenly, his investments did not matter to him as much as he had thought. So, one thing, the whole idea of this story is the fact that greed puts a wrong value on temporary things. It treats temporary things as if they and we will endure the earth forever. But in fact, we could die today, or all our things will be taken from us instantly. So there's no such thing as financial security in this world. No, there's no such thing as financial security in this world. That's a thing that you should know. So greed also treats eternal things as if they aren't real and they will never happen. But when we are in eternity, this speck of time we call life will seem like a blip on the radar of a screen. So we need to ask ourselves, really, in light of eternity and brevity and uncertainty of this life, ask yourself, am I managing what God has entrusted to me so as to be rich towards God? Rich, R-I-C-H. Like, the whole point of being rich is for you to be more than just an object that wants to exist eternally here on earth. You know, you think that there's no end. You just want more. But you don't want to give, first of all. You're getting more at the expense of others. And then you ask yourself, this accumulation, this wealth that I'm accumulating, is it pushing me towards God? If it's not, then my friends, I think you're a greedy individual. And the whole idea of this moral lesson is to make you a better person, really. Accumulating wealth is very good. It's important. It's not about the amount. It's more about the motive. That's the whole thing. That's the message for today. So what does the Bible really say about greed as a sin? And how should Christians view greed and wealth? How are we as Christians supposed to view, you know, greed and wealth? So, Paul says that greed is tantamount to idolatry and brings wrath to God. Tantamount is equal to idolatry, because you are basically worshipping whatever that you have. That is the book of Colossians 3 verse 5. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 10, and also in Ephesians 5, 5, Paul also warns that the greedy will not inherit the kingdom of God. He means that those who live lives characterized by greed are not true believers, and definitely they shall not inherit the kingdom. In the book of Corinthians, chapter 5, 10 to 11, he also says that we should not associate with anyone who claims to be a Christian but who is greedy, not to even eat with such a person. Also in the book of 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10, these are Bible verses you can just go and confirm. Go and read these verses. They might be very important in opening your perspective and understanding of what greed is as a vice. So 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10, it says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptations and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So, in almost every catalogue of sin where greed is mentioned, it's coupled with sexual immorality. This is very true. It is important for us as Christians to view greed in the same light as sexual immorality. Like, these things go hand in hand. The moment you become greedy, you know, for money, first of all, if your greed is based on money, then definitely, it goes hand in hand with sexual immorality. Just go look at all the flamboyant playboys that you see in your movies, in your televisions. You know, these very rich guys that you see being portrayed in movies. One thing you realize is that they're always surrounded with many women, right? That's the whole thing. Greed for money and sexual immorality are one and the same thing. They will always be walking side to side. This is something I've just told you. Go and see. Go look at all these very flamboyant, rich, greedy, you know, playboys that you will see in your movies, or even greedy men that you will see in your movies. Those guys who are making millions, you know, in movies, you will realize that these guys, whatever they are doing is always coupled with sexual immorality. So, the Bible views wealth as a serious responsibility to do good. That's one thing we are going to understand today. The Bible views wealth as a serious responsibility to do good. All wealth comes from God as a gift and is entrusted to us to use it properly for Him, to bless the lives of us, basically. We are free to enjoy without guilt the wealth of God that God has bestowed upon us. But we are also stewards of it for Him. So, I'm not trying to paint a negative image about wealth accumulation. As I said before, wealth accumulation is essential for survival. It's essential. You are not supposed to be poor by choice. No. You're supposed to work hard for everything. And accumulating wealth, as long as you're using positively for the glory of God, and understanding that you're just a custodian of what He has entrusted to you, then wealth is not bad. The problem is the motive, as I said, motive and ambition. So, in the book of 1 Timothy 16, 6, 17-18, Paul says that, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. One thing I like about the Bible is the fact that, you know, my mom usually tells me that the Bible is a double-edged sword. Inakata mbele na nyuma. You know, it cuts. You know how a double-edged sword, is it the saw? Yeah, a double-edged saw. Ni msumeno unaokata mbele na nyuma. You know, when people preach about greed, they'll paint a negative image of what money, accumulating money is. But the Bible doesn't necessarily say that. You know, a preacher is going to say money is the root of all evil, but he will not tell you that God wants you. He likes the fact that you are rich, but the point is He wants you to use that richness, that wealth He has given you, in good works and to be generous and be ready to share. It's that simple. So, I don't know how many sermons you've listened to and you've been told that being rich is very bad, it's going to, you know, deter you from the kingdom. Yes, there's a challenge in the fact that it's hard for a rich man to inherit the kingdom because of the motive and the fact that he gets greedy. But being wealthy is good. That's one thing that you should understand from 1 Timothy 6:17 to 18. But the whole idea of being wealthy is to understand that you are a custodian. So, while hard work is the normal means God uses to bestow wealth, we should never think that we are the cause of our own success or that God owes it to us as our due. So Moses warned the Israelites before they went into Canaan in the book of Deuteronomy 8:18, where he says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day." That covenant was God's promise to bless Israelites so that they would bless others. That is Genesis 12:1-3. And the Wangalezi verses, bana. Go look at them, you can tell me. So the Bible views wealth as good, but it is very dangerous. It is like a loaded gun. That's one thing you should understand. If I'm in the woods, for example, and an angry bear is charging at me, a loaded gun is a good thing to have, right? It's always a good thing. But a loaded gun is always dangerous, especially if it is in the hands of a 5-year-old, for example. So, if we are careful to be good stewards of God's gift of wealth and using it to promote His purpose, it's good. But if we are deceived by our own wealth, in the book of Matthew 13:22, you can go check it out, so that our trust shifts from the Lord to our riches, or we squander it on selfish living without regard for God's purpose, then we become in danger of spiritual ruin. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. Like, you need to understand how important wealth is. When we get this illustration of wealth as a loaded gun, it is the fact that wealth is going to make your life easier. It simplifies your life, of course. A poor man and a wealthy man do not live the same life. It's easier for this guy for a wealthy person to enjoy the good things of life. But at the same time, it's very dangerous if you do not use it the right way. It's a double-edged sword. You use it the right way for the purposes of God. Don't become greedy. Understand that this is a gift. It's not something that you've earned and you deserve. No. Yes, hard work makes it possible, but also God enables. Because there are people who work so hard, very, very hard, but they are never rich. Then there are people who don't put in so much effort, but God gives it to them because he knows these guys are good stewards of his riches. Now, that's a good part of the message. Now, let's ask ourselves. This is supposed to be a sermon whereby we analyze ourselves. What are the telltale signs of greed? How do we know that we are becoming greedy? Or how do we know that, for example, we're going for an election very soon. How do we know that this person we are selecting or choosing is greedy or not? So before we look at the signs, one thing that it's important for us to understand is the fact that we need to be careful. We need to be careful to judge ourselves and not others. You see, in the book of Matthew 7:1-5, it says that it is easy to apply this to others and to justify myself, but I need to remove the log from my own eye. So if you think that another Christian is being deceived by greed, your responsibility is gently to restore him. That's Galatians 6:1, right? But we each have to stand before God someday. So we need to face these matters personally first and honestly on the heart level before him. So it's important for us to be careful judges of ourselves before, you know, we decide to judge others of being greedy. You see? Okay. So here we're going to the interesting parts. So one of those things that I thought we should talk about is the fact that how do we question ourselves of being greedy? You know, we ask ourselves a lot of questions, right? Like this is just some of the questions that we ask ourselves as human beings, right? The question we ask ourselves whether we need some of these latest devices, for example, right? We ask ourselves whether we need a new car, where we need to take a vacation, and you know, all these things, right? Well, the problem is, while biblical principles do not apply to most of these questions that we ask ourselves, there are no hard or fast rules to guide in every situation. Now, a good example is whereby Paul says that if I don't provide for my family, for example, I'm worse than an unbeliever that have denied faith. That is the book of 1 Timothy 5:8. So those are some of the strong words that that Paul says. You know, we ask ourselves some questions and wonder whether we are being greedy. You know, whether you need this, you need this, you need that. Is it greed? So what is greed? Our question is basically understanding what is greed, right? Okay. So here are some questions that are going to help us to question ourselves and understand whether we are greedy. Because we are not going to look at someone else before we look at ourselves, before we take the log out of, before we take the speck out of our neighbor's eye. Really, why not take the log out of ours? So, number one, do I view my money and possessions as mine or God's? That's the first question you should ask yourself. You see, when we started, we say that once God gives you wealth, you are a steward. So this question is a stewardship question. Well, the Bible recognizes personal property rights. Well, the commandment against stealing presume that I own some things and you own others. There must be the fundamental sense that God owns all that I, as an individual, have. I manage it for him, and at the judgment, I will give an account to him. That's the book of Matthew 25:14-30, and Romans 14:10-12 also. So ask yourself, are you really a steward of the wealth that God has given you? Is it your money or is it God's? Number two, if I knew that I were to die in 1 year, would I do anything different in my management of God's resources? That's another question that we are going to ask ourselves. This is just a question from that illustration we saw up there when we were talking about, you know, the financier who saw like 1 year ahead. He wanted to rip off the stock market, but you know, he was surprised that he was going to die. So if you knew that you were going to die, what would you do differently with your management of God's resources? Well, would I buy this item? Would I give it to a certain cause? Would I spend it on entertainment? You know, those are some of the questions you should ask yourself. There's a movie called Schindler's List, and at the end of it, the war is over. And then Mr. Schindler is leaving many Jews whom he saved by employing them in munitions in his munitions factory. He has spent his entire personal fortune to bribe German officials in order to save those people from the death chambers. But as he looks at them, he breaks down weeping and laments, "I could have done more." So this is just a movie. I was just looking at this example and I thought I should share it with you. So they try to console him, but he points to his nice cars and says, "I could have sold it and saved a few more lives." He pulls out an expensive fountain pen and a watch and he says, "This could have been sold to save another life." Schindler was not a Christian, but he was not saving souls. But he was not saving souls for eternity. But still, when we think of our Savior's commission to preach the gospel to every creature, we all need to ask ourselves, in the light of brevity of life and eternity ahead, could I do more? Am I valuing souls above every earthly thing? If I rejoice when I win a raffle or a door prize, but I yawn when I hear about a soul being saved, have I lost eternal perspective, which is a sign of greed? This is just a point of asking yourself whether you value the lives of others more. Could you do more with the wealth that God has given you than just spending it on luxury? It's important, yes, to, it's good, it's allowed to give yourself a good time, but can you do more? That's the question. Number three is a question of asking yourself, what do I want money? Why do I want money? Why? This is a question about motive. Basically, this is a question about motive. Do I want more to provide more adequately for my family? That may be legitimate. But if I want more just to buy bigger, better stuff that I really don't need, then I might be drifting into greed. Number four, ask yourself, am I concerned about making money than I am about my eternal destiny? This is a question Jesus raised in the parable of the man who wanted to build bigger barns. That's an illustration we've seen. He was laying up treasure for himself on earth, but he wasn't rich towards God. So we realize that it takes a lot of time and energy to earn a living. And there's nothing wrong with working hard to succeed in your career. It's important that you do. But in every waking moment, if in every waking moment you are consumed with how to succeed financially and you don't think about how you can succeed at seeking God's kingdom and righteousness, then you're probably tainted by greed. That's the whole idea. What are you valuing money more than seeking the kingdom of Christ? Number five, ask yourself, what is your source of security? What is my source of security? Is it money or God? Now, this is one we should be careful with, because we all know the right answer in this case, right? We all know, as in Kisha, like, what is the source of security in your life? Is it money or is it God? But what if all my things, my bank accounts and everything that I have, for example, is taken away from me? Could I trust God? Like Job, if I lost everything? So that's another question you should ask yourself. Very tough question. What is your security really? Is it money or is it God? Number six, how much do I mourn the loss of money and things? This is a question of consideration, right? My level of grief when I lose something is directly proportional to my emotional attachment to that thing. This is a psychological fact. It's normal to grieve when we lose something of value, whether it's possession or it's money. But if you are trusting the Lord and recognizing that all we have belong to Him, we shouldn't be devastated when we lose earthly things, because we know that He gives and He takes. If we are, We may be greedy if our attachment to our wealth and our resources is so high and we mourn it like nobody's business, then we are heading in the path of greed. So other question we ask ourselves, ask yourself, do I cling to my things or am I generous and ready to share? Generosity. Number 8, ask yourself, do I compromise godly character or priorities in the pursuit of making money? Now this one is one that our generation suffers and struggles with. You know, chase the bag, whatever means, as long as you secure the bag at the end of the day. But do you put it above godly character? So some things ought to count far more than making money. God's reputation through my testimony as a Christian. This is a thing you tell yourself. My relationship with Jesus Christ, a clear conscience, my relationship with my loved ones. If at times you're forced to cheat, lie, steal, to get ahead financially or to avoid loss, then you're being greedy. That's greed. If I'm willing to shred relationships or to take advantage of another person for financial gain, that's greed. If I care more about making money than being a witness of Christ, I'm being greedy. You know, these are things we've talked about when we were talking about being a real man. Being a real man, by being a real man, then you become a messenger of the message of Christ. Number 9, ask yourself, are you prone to get rich quick schemes? You know, these schemes, they know, they pounce on greed. These schemes whereby you are told to invest this, at the end of the day you will get this money, you know, that's greed, my friends. Just try pull yourself out of that. So, what should we do to separate ourselves from greed? So that's the next thing. That's all we have to look at and finish this. How, at the end of the day, how do we separate ourselves from greed? So, putting myself to death with regard to greed means taking radical action to cut it out of my life, beginning on the thought level. Now, you may say to yourself that's very unpleasant, right? Why would you want to do that? But Paul answers in the book of Colossians 3:1-4, where he says, because you have died and you have raised up with Christ, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Because the unfathomable riches of Christ. This is Ephesians 3:8. Look at those verses, banner. Are more precious to you than all the riches that this world has to offer. He is the treasure in the field for which you sold everything to gain him. He is the pearl of great price. Matthew 13:44-46. So in the light of having Christ and finding joy and contentment in him, you have to acknowledge God to be the owner of all that you have and view yourself as a manager, or rather a custodian, who must give an account to him, because you will on the last day, on judgment day, you will. So you have to adopt the owner's priorities. You are a custodian. You are like a worker. You have to work with the goals, the standards that the owner of the business you are running works with. So his kingdom's purpose, that's the whole idea. You have to adopt those priorities. So ask yourself, why do I need more than I have? So resist sales pressure. Pray about major purchases before you buy them and get rid of all the needless stuff that you can. And then seek to live as simply as possible. This is something I learned from a very close friend of mine who used to tell me about simplicity, and it never made sense to me. But now when I reflect, I think he was right. You may need to create a budget at times and live within it. So learn to walk in the spirit so that his fruits of self-control governs your impulses. Also, to rid yourself of greed, make a faith commitment to give generously to the Lord's work. Giving is the drain plug for greed. Trust God by giving off the top of your paycheck, not giving if there is something left over at the end of the month. Give in prayerful, planned ways rather than giving when you are pressured. Give when it hurts a bit. There are other things you could do with the money, but you joyfully sacrifice so you can give the Lord's work. Well, for most of us, giving generously means giving far more than 10%. But with kingdom priorities, and careful stewardship, we can give far more than we can imagine, right? So, I think that's the conclusion, right? And the best sermon about greed is definitely about John Steinbeck's The Pearl. This is a book, maybe if you're Christian or not, you should go through it. You should really see it. It's a story about a happy but poor pearl diver who dreams of finding the perfect pearl. And he did one day. He actually did. He hoped that it would bring him happiness. But to his surprise, it brought him problem after another. Yeah? He lost. He almost gets killed. His son is killed. He and his wife are at loggerheads at most of the time in the book. And he realized that he loses his previously very tranquil life, that life of joy, that life of happiness. And at the end of the day, we see him standing at the shore, and he hurls the cursed pearl as far into the sea as he can. And that's what we must do with our greed. We must radically separate ourselves from it. Put it to death. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come. That is the end of our sermon today. I just hope you guys have picked a thing or two. We live in a generation whereby greed is actually glorified, or rather it's overlooked. But we need to assess ourselves as a people, as an individual, and understand that the kingdom and the priorities of God are greater than our needs and our wants. We can't want more while we're not giving. We can't want more while we're not using the wealth that we have to make the lives of others better. And that's the end of today's episode. I hope you guys have been blessed. I hope you've learned a thing or two. And this message is very relevant, I think. It's very relevant. You can assess a lot of things from this. Use it to make yourself a better person and to make better of those who are around you. So be blessed. Have a wonderful week ahead. Keep winning. Keep conquering. And acquire as much wealth as you can. This wasn't a message to encourage you to be poor. No, you can't be poor. You've been given two hands, two legs, two eyes. God has blessed you with a brain. You can listen. You've been blessed to listen to this message today. Work hard. Keep working hard. Keep pursuing greatness. But once you get it, once that wealth becomes yours, remember you are a steward and a custodian. The priorities that you must have are those that are aligned to the owner of what you have, God himself. So be blessed. Keep winning, mazi. Na Mungu atembee mbele yako this week. That's it for today.
Dodo, dime la lam changani, wahuba.